Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. So let's get your attention up here. Let's go ahead and put your phones on the silent and off position. And I've entitled this morning's message, "There is only one door." There is only one door. And we're going to see in Scripture, how does that pertain to us? Amen. And if you've been watching the House of David, you know, he was a shepherd out there in the fields. And one thing that I saw out there, I'm going to show you in about a moment, it's called a sheep gate. Okay? And so, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 10. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 16. And here we go. "Most assuredly I say to you," this is the teachings of Jesus, the writings of Jesus that John wrote down for him. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Oh. So those 864 million gods is a thief and a robber. Can I get amen? Amen. It's a thief and a robber. Look at this. "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Wow. This is one thing that we're going to see in Scripture, how this pertains to us. Because how many, you're here because of God's voice. Can I get amen? Amen. Look at this, verse 4. "And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." See, the sheep know what? The shepherd's voice. Hallelujah. I know when I hear God. I know his voice. And I also know when the enemy's trying to speak. Yep. You know why? Because the enemy's trying to lead me astray. Yep. But not Jesus. Jesus will not tempt you. Amen. Can I get amen? Amen. He's the one that will lead you and guide you and deliver you. But he will not tempt you. Can I get amen? Amen. Thank you, God. He will not, he will not, he will not. Amen. Amen. And so, let's look at verse 4 again. "And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers." Wow. Did you catch that? You see, if someone starts teaching us false doctrine, you're going to flee from it. You'll know. One of the things that we do here at Amazing Grace, let me just pause here for a moment, is we present you the truth. And so this is what I found out, a person that worked at Walmart, the clerks, the cashiers. During their training process, they study the original dollar bills, the ones, the fives, the 20s, the 50s, the 100s. They study them closely. You know why? They study them really closely. Because when an imitation comes in, when one that was constructed by man and not by the Federal Reserve, they'll see that counterfeit. They will see it. They will know that this is not their real dog. This is why we preach truth here, because when you hear the truth over and over again, you will know when the lie comes. Can I get amen? Amen. You will know the lie. Like the ones that show up on your door on Saturday mornings. They drive around on 10 speeds. Elder so-and-so telling you that you have your own planet somewhere. Oh, come on. Or some of them are dressed in nice suits. And they don't believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. Those are the Jehovah's Witnesses. And so you're going to see that there's a lot of voices out there, but we're not going to listen to that voice. Why? Because that's not the voice of the Lord. Can I get amen? Amen. And so it says right here in verse 5. Let's go back to verse 5 up here. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration in verse 6, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. See, they didn't get it yet. They weren't spiritually discerned yet. Let's go to verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Yeah. Woo! Jesus is the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and find pasture. This lets me know that Confucius cannot save you. Hare Krishna or whatever that Hindu thing is cannot save you. Allah cannot save you. Can I get amen? The Pope cannot save you. Hallelujah. Can I get amen? A nun cannot save you. Matter of fact, I was at a wedding and I walked in late and I was sitting in the back and it was a Catholic wedding. There was two nuns right there. There was an empty seat by them. So I turned to them. I said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They got up and left. They got up and left. Because I asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Paul asked that question in Acts chapter 19. When he came across a certain disciples, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? See, there's a lot of people that profess Christ, but they never received the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Woo! And without the power of God, you will not hear His voice. Without Him living inside you, you will not hear His voice. Because He will lead you to all righteousness. He'll lead you to a place like no other place. Oh, that's right. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Look at verse 10. The thief does not come to except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Then Jesus said, I have come that they may have life. And that they may have it, what? More abundantly. Then he goes on to say, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. How many are so blessed to know that Jesus gave his life for us? Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Every one of us that's in this room right now. He is our shepherd. Can I get amen? Amen. He is the chief shepherd. Thank you, God. And guess what? He didn't allow us to be led astray by a thief and a robber. Thank you, God. Look at verse 12. Oh, look at this. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. Let me just say this. Born again, Holy Ghost filled pastors around the world, it's a calling. None of them in their whole entire probably youth ever thought, I'm going to be a pastor one day. No. God knows when to call you, and then He will anoint you. He will appoint you and then approve you. He'll give you your AAA card. He's the one that does it. But there's people that go, oh, I'm going to go to a seminary and learn to be a pastor without being called. And so this is what he's saying. He said, there's a lot of false ones that, you know what? They haven't laid down their life for the sheep. They haven't laid down their life. They don't go to their homes and pray for them. They don't go pray for the sick. They don't do none of that. And you know what? And then when an enemy comes, they'll flee. My goodness. You don't have to worry about someone coming in here. Those you know. I don't have to say it online. Those you know already. Look at this. But a hireling, he does not, what? Shepherd. One who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. Wow. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing to know that we know Jesus and Jesus knows us? Look at verse 15. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus has laid down his life for you and me. Can I get amen? Amen. And other sheep I have, what? Look at this, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now, I got a quick question. It says, and the other sheep, verse 16, I have which are not of this world, or this fold, which also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. Who's the other ones in the other fold? You ever thought of that? So until you dive deep, you'll find out. The other fold is you and I, Gentiles. Because he first came for the Jews. And then when they rejected him, then he came to save us. Hallelujah. We are the other ones from the other fold, and that we would hear his voice. When Jesus called your name, you came to him. Can I get amen? Amen. He quickened you. He made you come alive, and now you are following him. Wow. See, God has to do that supernaturally. Thank you, God. He doesn't do it because we grew up with folks or parents that love God. No, he comes to you individually. I know a lot of PK kids that don't follow God. You know what a PK kid is? A pastor's kid. I know a lot of them that, you know what? They want nothing to do with Christianity. But they grew up. They went to Sunday school. They went to youth. They even were part of the young adult, but they still are walking in unbelief. See, this is why it's a one-on-one relationship with God. It's just you and him. We consist of the body, but it's between you and him. So them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. You know what the one flock is? Jew and Gentile. The one new man. That's who we are. So there's born again Jews and born again Gentiles. We're the one flock now. Praise God. So Jesus said it best. He said, I am the door. I am the door. Say that with me. I am the door. Jesus is the door. Praise God. Praise God. Look, in 10, 7 through 9, let's look at this again. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. He goes on to say again, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will what? Be saved. And will go in and out and find pasture. Right? Amen. So we need to understand the truth of about God. Number one, the truth about God. Jesus is the good shepherd who will always lead us through the right doors. Hallelujah. How many so blessed to know that? He won't lead us astray. You can trust in the Word of God. You can trust in His Spirit that you cannot fail when you're trusting God. But we must understand the truth for my life. How does this truth benefit you as a congregant, as a servant, as a minister, as a child of God? Look at this up here. Truth for my life. I will recognize Jesus' voice and follow wherever He leads me. Did you know that He'll lead you into abundant life. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, it was abundant life from that moment on. It was something I was looking for in all the wrong places. You ever hear that country and western song? Looking for love in all the wrong places. Oh, come on. Back in the day, in our BC years, we were searching just to fulfill our desires. And a lot of those desires were ungodly desires. Can I get amen? But we were looking for that void that was in us. There was always a void. And when I was partying with my friends, it was more of this and more of that. And after that ran out, I wanted more again. And it wasn't satisfying me until Jesus came. Woo! Until Jesus came. Praise God. And so we're gonna look at the sheep gate, because Jesus stands at the door. Did you know that he guards the gate? He doesn't allow evildoers to go in, and he keeps us safe in the sheep gate. Oh, yes. You see, when the sheep gate were in a location, in many places in Bethlehem, when you go to Israel and you tour Israel, you go to the hills of Bethlehem, and you'll see a lot of sheep gates up there, because there's still shepherds out there. They still have lambs out there, sheep out there. And they were brought to pasture for daily water. And after a day feeding them and they were getting their fill of drink, then he would take them not only by the river banks, but he would safely bring them back to the sheepfold, the sheep's gate, and gapes in all shapes and sizes that they would make. We would see small ones and big ones. But there was always a shepherd guarding that door. And it was all dependent on how big that particular shepherd in the field wanted to care for as many sheep. Some 10, some 100. And many ancient sheepfolds consisted of stone walls and only had one entrance. It was like this one. Look. We saw, when we went to Nazareth, they had a replica of Jesus' little city. And on the hillside, remember, we saw a sheep gate just like this. And look, there's only one way in. There's only one way in. There's no exit. And the shepherd's right there at the door. Hallelujah. So you have to look at that Jesus is at the door. Nothing can get by him. That's why he said any other way to get to heaven is but a thief and a robber. Because they're trying to climb up the wall. They won't go through Jesus. Jesus is the only name that can save them. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so the single gate made it more difficult for thieves and predators to enter the pen that would wreak havoc or even try to steal away sheep. So they would build these little walls of rock, and they would put them together, and they were solid, and it kept them in there. And he would watch. He could see what kind of predator was out there trying to get in. Remember in the house of David? He killed a lion and a bear. It's in Samuel. Read Samuel. I mean, have you guys been watching the series?
Yeah.
Man, it's incredible. Yes, it is. The last one is this Thursday. The fight. The battle. Can't wait.
Oh, my God.
And so while a 4 to 5 foot stone wall may not be much of a defense, it proved to be a considerable deterrent. It would deter them. The predators. The thieves. They would say, oh, no. As soon as we try to climb over that, he's right there at the door. And he go run and defend them. Can I get amen?
Amen?
And so even if a thief were to break over the fence, some of those sheep weigh 100 pounds. Just imagine trying to get that over there. Mm-mm. But the time he tries to headlock one, the shepherd's there already. Ready to beat him on the head with his rod. Look what I found in John chapter 8 here. Look at this. In John 8, 37. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me. Now, these are the religious folks. Again, religion tries to go up a different way. They didn't realize that Jesus, the Son of God, came and was in the midst of them. They didn't believe their own scripture that out of Bethlehem would come the Savior. They didn't believe that all the miracles that Jesus did, he healed the blind, he caused the mute to speak, he caused the cripple to walk again, he raised the dead. And here he is in the midst of them, and they could not yet believe. So look at this. Jesus said, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Wow. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do not what you have seen with your father. Oh, so he's telling them already, you got a different father. You got a different daddy. And this is what some folks don't want to come to realization, what I'm going to read right now. Let's keep on going with this. Look at verse 39. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Oh, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. Look at verse 41. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. They're trying to tell Jesus, you were born of fornication. We have one father, God. Look at verse 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. Are you catching this? Huh? Are you catching? He said it. If you were your... Oh, my God. If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Wow. Wow. You see, he's confronting these religious folks. They don't know how to... you know what? They're getting angry. Look at verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You see, they don't have ears to hear. They don't have eyes. Oh, look at this. You are of your father the devil. Oh! Unbelievers. You know, when you come into an unbeliever, you know who their father is. Listen, humanity is all God's creation. That's about it. But we believers have been adopted by him. We're grafted in. Now we are the sons and daughters of God. The believers are in Yeshua, the believers in Jesus. But an unbeliever, his papa, his daddy is still Satan. Because that's who deceived Adam. And so since Adam, the sinful nature has been passed on and passed on and passed on. That's why Jesus had to come to the cross and save us. He had to save us from our sin. But until you come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, your papa is the devil. Hey, I know some of you are ready to throw a tomato at me. I'm just speaking the truth. Take it up with Jesus. Jesus said it. You are your father the devil, and desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Look at this. And does not stand in truth, because there is no truth in him. We all know that the devil is a liar, and there is no truth in him. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Wow. Jesus. You see, you can't get by anything past Jesus. He spoke it. until that person finds Christ, they can't hear God. They can't hear God. How many times have you spoken to loved ones, friends, family members, acquaintances, you know, hey, come on to church. Ah, it's okay. I'm glad. Nah, you know, they have nothing to do with God. They don't pray. They don't have a prayer life. They don't go to church. They don't read scripture. Nothing. Well, they're walking in as an unbeliever. They're walking in unbelief because they've never been born from above. And so who is their father? Next time you'll know. I know who your daddy is. It's not Jesus. It's not God. Because if your daddy is God, you would know who Jesus is, and you would follow him. You would pick up your cross and you would follow him. Is this making it clear? Are we getting this? Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Narrow is the path. Look at this. Recognizing and following the right voice. The right voice. So we're going to go further in John chapter 10, starting with verse 22. Let's look at this. In John 10, 22. Now, it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, what? Tell us plainly. Jesus didn't owe him a penny. He didn't have to explain himself because he knew who he was. And his disciples he disclosed to. But these religious folks, I'm glad he was just toying with them. He was making them furious. You know why? Because they were ignorant. They're ignorant of the scriptures because they read their whole life about the Messiah that would come. And now he's standing before them and they can't even, they're like this, I can't see who you are. Look at verse 25. Jesus said to them, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Look at verse 26. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I had said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. How many are so blessed that since we've been saved, we've been following Jesus? Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We've been following the Lord. And God will raise up sub-shepherds. You know what a sub-shepherd is? Is a junior shepherd. Because he told Peter, just feed my sheep. And so since then, God has raised up many pastors around the world to continue to feed his sheep. Not my sheep, his sheep. Amen. We're just mouthpieces. But God does all the work. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Look at this. Verse 28. And I give them, ooh, look what he gives them. He gives them eternal life, and they shall never perish. What? If you're truly born again of the Spirit, it says you will never perish. Woo, come on, somebody got to give God a shout. Come on, come on, come on, give him a shout. Come on, some of you shout louder when the Chargers kick a field goal. I'm talking about a field goal, not a touchdown. Yeah, they're screaming. Or Raiders. Someone went like, whoa. It's all right. It's all right. Look at this. I give them eternal life. And they shall never what? Perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Listen, we are secure in Christ. We are in his hand. No one can snatch us. Can I get amen? Amen. Woo! Thank you, God. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one's able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are what?
One.
One. Saints, voice recognition, it played a key role in the work of ancient shepherd living among the sheep as much as possible. And it was the utmost importance for the sheep to learn the shepherd's voice. This is why we go to Sunday school, we go to men's study, we go midweek, Sunday morning. Why? Because we're reading the scriptures, and that's the voice of God speaking to us. You know, the word of God is alive, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to reach down into the bone and marrow. So when you're reading the word of God, faith cometh by what? Hearing the word of God. So when you read the word of God, when the word of God is preached under the anointing, God will give you ears to hear and eyes to see. God will give you revelation knowledge. He'll let you see something that's been there always, but you didn't see it before. And then he quickens you, and you open your eyes and go, oh my God, now I get it. Only the power of God can do that. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Hallelujah. But you have to be, hallelujah, in that place to receive it. You got to be hearing his word. You got to be in constant relationship with him. Can I get amen? Amen. Their safety depended on their familiarity with it. The shepherd's voice could lead them safely to good water where the brooks to drink, and where the pastures were green, full of food for them to eat. The shepherd's voice could also steer the sheep away from the crevices, the caves where snakes and predators love to hide, waiting for an unexpected prey to pounce on them. And there were many predators out there. They had to deal with lions, bobcats, wolves and coyotes, and foxes. They had to deal with all these creatures out there in the wild. They needed a shepherd. And unfortunately, sheep, why does God call us sheep? Because all we do is bah. That's us. You ever heard the term, man, that's like a dumb sheep? Well, you know what? They're only going to be led wherever you lead them and take them. Yep. Did you know? In a slaughtering house, they're the only animal that just keeps moving forward. And then they just stand there, and then they slit the neck. A cow knows it's going to die, and it fights. That's why they have to shock it. Sometimes they have to shoot it in the head. Because that bull knows. He knows he's going to die. But not a sheep. This is why the Bible says the sheep is led away to the slaughter. Listen, Jesus, he was the Lamb of God. He never opened his mouth. He didn't fight it. Jesus just kept going. Because he knew he had to die. And so they what? Nailed him at 9 o'clock in the morning to the cross. The same time they were binding the sacrificial lamb on the temple. At the same time. They were bounding Yeshua. They were binding the sacrificial lamb. And they were singing the songs of Moses. My goodness. There's a lot in that. And we're going to be teaching on that. I think next week I'll be teaching the Passover. Passover's around the corner. And so praise God. I'm glad they got Passover first. Passover's always going to be Passover, Nisan. But this year they have Easter after Passover. I never understood celebrating Easter before Passover. No. Let's do it right. So the shepherd's voice could also just steer them into safety. Sheep who did not know how to recognize and follow the shepherd's voice was most likely going to get lost. And they will stray away because they're not listening to the shepherd's voice. Some of them would get captured. and eaten by wild animals. So let's look at this right up here. Voices of strangers and robbers. Sheep who know their shepherd's voice will never be fooled by a substitute. Jesus was confident of this fact when he stated this. Look at this in John 10, 4 and 5. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow, for they know. Say that with me. They know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Wow. Wow. And we can think about right now, all of us can be thinking about who would be a stranger to us. You know that stranger? Any religious organization, unbelieving, I'm going to say atheist, there's agnostics. You know what an agnostic is? Someone believe that there's a God, but don't recognize that it's Jesus. They believe in a God, but they won't nail it down to it's Jesus. Atheists, full-blown unbelievers. And then you got your religious guys that come around your door knocking. Matter of fact, yesterday was Saturday, right? I was leaving the little Terra Nova Mall, going down East H, and there must have been about 20 of them, Jehovah's Witnesses. They were all crossing the street from their Jehovah's Witness building right there on H Street. And one thing, if you notice, there's no windows. They have no windows in their building. Next time you go by a Kingdom Hall building, there's no windows. They don't want them to look outside. They don't want them to stray. Why? Because they're brainwashed. That's not God's voice. And when you ask them to come in, oh, come on and we'll pray. I want to lay hands and let's pray. They'll leave. They're told not to pray. Not to pray with Christians. Why? Because the Holy Ghost will come and break the ice. They're afraid the Holy Ghost will come on them and give them ears to hear and eyes to see that they're in error. Oh, God, help us. Jesus, help us. And so, he says in 10:8 right here, look at this. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not, what? Hear them. See, robbers have no good intention. You ever got robbed before? I was 18 years old, my first apartment, came home from work. It was like almost 5 o'clock in the afternoon. My front door open, TV gone, everything gone. That's the most ugliest feeling, that someone violated all your stuff and took your stuff. That's a horrible feeling. They had no good intention. They didn't even leave a card that says thank you. They had no good intention. They threw everything looking for whatever they could find. Regardless of the person's origin or motivation, saints, sheep are rightfully wary of any voice that does not sound exactly like their trusted shepherd. So there's some counterfeits that could, but they're counterfeits. That's why you have to hear the truth over and over again, and you'll know the counterfeit. Can I get amen? So Jesus is the door. Jesus is the door. It's reiterated in 1 through 5. Look at that. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber, which we read, but we need to hear this again. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Praise God. Look at verse 4. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Sister Yolanda and I, it was on a Saturday, we wanted to go to this famous coffee shop at Venice Beach. It was called The Rose. And so we went there. It was, oh man, great pastries, great breakfast, and great coffee. So I said, let's walk down the beach here. Because they had like a sidewalk. What's the one in Mission? A boardwalk. They had a boardwalk. And so every weird thing was on there. You know, people selling stuff. And then we came across, there was like about maybe 10 of them. They had dreadlocks on. And beards. Hey, man, come over here, man. And they had a big Bible on their table. They were the Yahweh folks. Hey, man, do you worship on the Sabbath or on a Sunday? I said, well, we worship. Oh, that's not what Yahweh said. Then all of a sudden, they wanted to have a biblical debate. And the first thing I said to them is what I said to the nuns. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They couldn't answer that. Are you born again from above? And because they were, what do you call it? Captured by counterfeiters. They were indoctrinated by a false shepherd, false teaching, false doctrine. Can I get amen? Wow. I'm telling you, that's a serious matter, isn't it? That's a serious matter. And we didn't stay too long because there was a whole bunch of them. And, you know, and I didn't want to get it. A confrontation where they would have probably wanted to get physical now. It was just me and Sister Yolanda. So she grabbed me on her, let's go. They're not wanting to listen to truth. And so it's amazing. It was amazing that is what? A stranger. Matter of fact, they had their own Bible. And it said, Yahweh this, Yahweh that, Yahweh this, and Yahweh that. And the New Testament, Yahweh this, and Yahweh that. It was like, wow. And they kept saying, we're the original tribe of Judah. I said, okay. You go on with your tribe. I said, can I pray for you? Oh, no, it's okay, man. Let me pray for you, man. That God will give you more revelation. They want no prayer. Because they're told. They're just like any religious organization. They don't want prayer. Because they don't want the Holy Spirit to jump on them. They're indoctrinated by a false doctrine. Jesus said it best. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will what? Be saved. And go in and out and find pasture. Wow. And then he says here in John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. My. And I shared that scripture with them before I left. Because they kept saying, Yahweh, Yahweh. I go, yeah, Yahweh was the Father in the Old Testament. But his name in the Bagat is Yeshua. He's mentioned as Yeshua. His son has a name. Oh, no, it's Yahweh. I said, okay, we're done. There's no get past these guys. Because they're blocked with religion. With fallacy, with error. And you listen, if you don't know the Bible good enough, don't even try to box with them. You know what? Just walk away. And save it for another day. Thank you, God. Saints, if we desire to seek God in His blessings, the only door is through Jesus Christ. Can I get amen? He's the only way. So indeed, several Other writers of Scripture noted Jesus' uniqueness as the only correct path for salvation. He's the only way. When speaking of Jesus' name, Peter boldly proclaimed this. Look at this. This is what you have to show religious folks. And I try to point out this scripture, but they had nothing to do with it. They didn't want nothing to do with it. Look at this in Acts 4 and 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And what is that name? Jesus. What's that name again? Jesus. Come on. Shout out his name. Jesus. Whew, there's no other name. And then this is what Paul told Timothy. Look at this in 1 Timothy. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You can't go to a nun. You can't go to a pope. You can't go through a cardinal. You got to go through Jesus. Can I get amen? Amen? Hallelujah. He's the mediator. He's the mediator. You know, and I know we still have friends and family still locked into that. You just got to tell them the truth. Can I get amen? Share it to them in truth and love. Tell them that that is set in stone with God. But they don't look at their, they don't read scripture. You know that. So let me ask this question. Why would someone try to seek another door than Jesus? Huh? Why? That's a good question, huh? You ever hear people, well, you know what? Yeah, I used to believe, but I walked away. You ever heard of those folks? You know what something tells me? I'm serious. I'm just giving you my opinion here. I think if you walk away like that, you were never born of him. Because if you're born of God, hallelujah, he will keep you. And you'll be want to be kept. Can I get amen? Amen. Are we going to live a perfect life? No. But when we do sin, he'll bring conviction, not condemnation. So that we can get our walk right with him. But he still doesn't cast us aside. Can I get amen? Why would you want to seek another door? There's no other door. As I shared earlier, the sheep gate, he's at the door. Another question. How can we demonstrate to others that Jesus is the only door to salvation? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You see, saints, despite the scriptures being quite clear on this particular matter, people still try other doors to fulfill happiness and fulfillment. Like reading Dr. Phil or getting advice from Oprah. It cannot go to the scripture. The scripture, the Bible says, I said it earlier, the Word of God is alive, alive. Sharper than a two-edged sword, able to reach down into the bone and marrow. God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. Jesus can do the miraculous in our life. How many times has God came through for you? Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. From what I understand, he's still at work. He's still at work. He doesn't sleep, neither does he slumber. When you're asleep, he's still up watching over you. He's still caring for you. Matter of fact, the other night, we were praying, we said, God, encamp your angels around us. Keep us in your perfect will. Keep my mind stayed on thee, O God. You know, there's some things that he already does, but there's nothing wrong with asking him for these things to help you. Can I get amen? Amen. 'Cause this flesh sometimes don't want to line up with God. Thankfully, saints of God, we have another promise in Scripture that Jesus, hallelujah, said, we can take this to the bank. Look at this. In Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same, what? Yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. We, man, we, Our emotions is like a roller coaster. Man, today I'm happy. Tomorrow, man, don't even call me. I don't want to speak to nobody. And then we slap out of it, and then we get happy again. Oh, hello, I'm sorry. I was just not in the right place, right? You know, how you doing? And we're like that. But God's not like that. He goes, well, wait a minute. You know, I don't feel good today. I'm not gonna hear you today. Oh, Jesus, help us. Thank you, God. Jesus, God is consistent. And there is no darkness in Him. And so one of the things is this right up here. Recognizing Jesus' voice. His voice. Thank you, God. Becoming familiar with the voice of Jesus, we must be willing to spend time with Him. You know, if you're not spending time with Him, you're not going to know His voice. When you're reading this word, you're not going to know His voice. God will speak to you through your spirit that's living in you and the Word of God. He speaks to you in many ways. But I love to read His Word because then I can hear Him speaking to me. Thank you, God. So there are several ways to learn to recognize God's voice. Number one, look at this. The first and best way is to read and meditate on God's Word. The Bible is His story. You ever wondered why they labeled times past called history? When you were in school, you had to learn what? Math, reading, history? Well, it's actually His story. It's about His story. It's all about God. And that's what the atheists did. They removed Him from the thinking of all of our youth. And so I'm praying that Trump will get all... He got rid of the education, the current education. And I believe they're bringing the Bibles back. So that just generation... Because you know what? If you were to ask a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old right now, across the nation, ask them who's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Ask them, have you seen the house of David? Who is David to you? A lot of them don't. What? Listen. Yeah. Because he has godly parents that love the Lord thy God. When you love the Lord thy God, you will raise up your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You will teach them. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they get old, they will not depart from it. Proverbs 22. Can I get amen? Amen. Train them up. Yes. That's our job, is to train them up. Right. Train them up in the things of God. Amen. And they won't depart from it. You know what? They will always remember God's voice and God's word. And then we don't know the time and day when God then quickens them and then draws them to Himself. And that's why we got to pray every day for our children. Can I get amen? As they grow, oh God, save them. God, they can't go in by my coattail. You got to save them now, God. We did what you asked us to do. We sowed into their life. Now save them, God. We did our part, God. Save them, God. Come on, if you're crying out for them, God will, man, I'm telling you, He will do the supernatural. He will do things, and listen, He'll do in a way where you thought they were coming this way. He'll do it to blow you away a whole different way. Look at that. Number two, complaining about not hearing God's voice without reading His word is foolishness. Let me read that again. Complaining about not hearing God's voice without reading His word is foolishness. If you're not reading His word, you're not going to know anything about Him. Nothing. And if other things satisfy you than reading, you got to ask yourself, where am I? Where am I spiritually? Am I one of yours, God? Look at this. I found this clip right up here. The hardest part of following God for most people is not discovering what His secret hidden will is. The hardest part is obeying what's written in black and white. Did you catch that? The hardest part of following God for most people is not discovering what His secret, hidden will is. The hardest part is obeying what's written in black and white. Some people just don't want to obey God. They want to do their own thing. Some don't want to be under a spiritual authority. There are some folks, they're like, what do you call it? They're rogue. I call them rogue Christians. They'll just go anywhere. Oh, I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. I'm going to go receive over here. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to go over here. And they don't want to be under a shepherd, sub-shepherd, to grow, to get rooted and grounded. So they're always moving around. They're always going there, always going there. But they never want to receive what God has for them. Guess what? They will always be stunted in their growth. We didn't realize that until Yolanda and I went to Mission Valley. Because we were hopping around. We were going, well, we go to Maranatha. We go here. We go to Calvary Chapel downtown. We go. And then when I heard Pastor Leo brought that message, we ended up being there for 13 years. I go, he's our pastor. And we're going to submit to his authority. We're going to and then he raises up in ministry. Then, by the grace of God, Pastor Leo will confide with me. He allowed me to get close to him. They were 3,000 deep in our church. He allowed me to come close. He allowed me to get close to him. We would go eat sushi together. We would talk about things. And then he goes, you know what? God put on my heart to do a series in the book of Acts. He goes, I want to see the Holy Spirit move in this place. I said, do you know what you're asking, Pastor Leo? I go, you know what you're asking. Because if God starts pouring out in here, there's going to be some that will receive it gladly and some will leave. You're going to get some of the folks that came from a Baptist church in here and they're going to flee. He goes, but I keep hearing God. I said, okay. Then you got to have an altar call after you teach in the morning. So he raised up Sister Yolanda and I. We had five services a week. We were in charge. We were there. We never went home. Yolanda and I had a prayer team at the 7:45. We had another prayer team at the 9:30. Then we had another prayer team at 11:15. And then we had a prayer team for 6 in the evening. And then on Wednesday night at 7, we had another prayer team. We did five services a week. This is where God taught us how to serve Him. This is what propelled us to go deeper with Him. Because we were obedient to that. When you start obeying the things of God, then He will start giving you a little bit more and a little bit more to handle and a little bit more. And then He'll take you higher and higher with Him. But it starts off with obedience. But people never grow any further because they don't want to obey God. They don't want to be under a shepherd. They just want to keep going here and here. And there. I'm going over here. Oh, there's fire over here. Sometimes that's just glitter and no glory over there. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And that's what taught us how to serve. And then, boom, the day came where I got ordained. But we had to, how many years? We went through 2 years of five services a week. And we never complained. As a matter of fact, we were filled with joy. The very first 7:45, he preached on the book of Acts. He did an altar call. I had the prayer team ready. He goes, he was looking at me shaking. V, bring up your prayer team. I remember that we came up. And we were just facing the congregation. You know, the 7:45 had about maybe 800 people in there. And they started coming to the altar. And then one of the things I would say, would you like more of God? Would you like to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Man, we were laying hands and people were falling out. We are in a Calvary Chapel church. Because he came from Chuck Smith, Pastor Leo. And they were falling out, man. And people around, and the ones in the congregation were going, oh my God, what's happening here? And I'll never forget, Carl and Laura Lee, faithful to the ministry, came from a Baptist church. She came up to the altar, Laura Lee did. She goes, Fee, if there's more, I want it. If there's more, I want it. I said, lift up your hands and just open up your mouth and start praising. And I laid hands on her. The Holy Ghost started flowing. She started weeping. Her husband standing right next and was like, oh my, it was like, oh my gosh. He never heard his wife speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Man, and there was some that left the church. And then more kept coming. So the more they came, outgained the ones that left. Because some said, nah, this is foolishness to them. They didn't want no part of it. But I told Leo in advance this would happen. And he allowed the Holy Ghost to come in. And he preached that series, huh? How long, honey? 2 years almost? Yeah. Man, it was so dynamic, man. And we couldn't wait to come to church. There were times we didn't go home. Not in the morning. We'd hang around. We'd go. They would have food in the back in one of the rooms. We'd go back there and snack and got ready for the next service. Thank you, God. And then my opportunity came. Pastor Leo asked me. He had 11 pastors. Come on, 3,000 folks. He had 11 pastors. Pastor for this, pastor for that. You know, many different ministries. But he came to me. I wasn't a pastor. He goes, would you like to teach one of my Wednesday nights? I go, where are you going, Leo? He goes, I got to do an emergency run to Israel to meet the mayor. He goes, can you do it? You could do it. He used to call me Teddy. You could do it, Teddy. Yeah, I was his teddy bear. You could do it, Teddy. You could do it, Teddy. Wednesday nights, we were at the United Methodist Church across the street from Sayles. Remember Sayles was right there? Freeway 8. And then on the hill was that big church, United Methodist Church. We did our Wednesday nights there. And I was obedient to it. I had to be obedient to it. I didn't say no. I had to. And I'll tell you why. Because you don't know how many times I would ask my dad to come to get saved. My dad was 80 years old. I kept saying, Dad, come on, Dad. You need to come and give your life to Christ. You know, I don't know how many years you got left. Oh, you've got your religion. I got mine. Mm-mm. So he would always just shine me on, right? So it was my night to speak. I told Dale, go get Dad. Tell Dad to come. Man, I'm getting an opportunity to speak. So Dell went and pleaded with my dad. And, you know, I didn't know whether he said yes or no, but I do know one thing. I gave the altar call. I mean, when I first got up there, it was like a deer with the headlights on. I mean, ask Yolanda, man. She was there, but I was like, oh, my gosh. And I just trusted God. I brought forth the message. I gave the altar call, and people were coming down to the altar crying. It was tears coming down. And I looked way in the back. That is a big church. I looked way in the back, and I had to zero in, and I saw my brother Dale walking down with my dad. He was walking down with my dad. And I beelined to him. I said, Dad, you came. And he was crying. I go, Dad, what do you want, Dad? What do you want from the Lord? He goes, Placido, I want to get saved. I must have lost it. You see, if I would have told Pastor Leo no, that opportunity came from my dad. And we had a Friday night home fellowship here. And so, hallelujah, that following Friday, we baptized my dad. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. And he sat in this front row right here, and he lived another 16 years. He died at 96. Whoo, man. I'm telling you, don't count nobody out. Can I get amen? It's never too late. It's never too late. It's all about being obedient to God. When God's called you, then God is saying, you know what? Obey me and watch what I'll do in your life. But no one wants to obey no more. They want to do their thing. They don't want to be under spiritual authority. They're their own boss. I call them rogue Christians. They've gone rogue. They just want to do their own thing. See, God has appointed spiritual men and women for this purpose. Look what I found in Ephesians right up here. Look at this. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? Why are we here? For the equipping of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. It's our job to fill you with wisdom and knowledge and to motivate you and to pray for you and let you know you can make it. Grow now in Christ. Look at this. It says, edifying the body of Christ, verse 13, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness and the deceitful plotting. They do that. This is why get plugged in to someone that loves God. Get plugged in that will teach you the Word of God. Get plugged in that they will teach you truth and they won't lie to you. Can I get amen? This is what I loved about Pastor Leo. He didn't hold nothing back. I would like to say this. I was blessed to be under his ministry. If it wasn't for him, I don't think I'd be in the position I am now to continue with the work of the ministry. The opportunity was right there. And it came through a life of obedience. You see, saints, leaders, especially pastors, are also described in the Bible as shepherds who take care of God's flock. Look at Acts 20:28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. For what? To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. See, we're all bought through the blood of Jesus. So he raises up good men and women to teach you the Word of God. Why? Because we're bought by him. So now he goes, grow. I raised up men to teach you how to grow. Look at this. He told this in 1 Peter 5:2-4. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over the entrusted you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, which is Jesus, appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. You ask, well, why do you do this so long, Pastor Fee? You've been doing this now 17 years. For that? For that? I want the crown. I want nothing else. I want the crown of glory that won't fade away. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So now you know why I do this. Because of that. I don't want nothing else out of this. I want to see you grow. I want to see people get saved. And that will join everyone else in eternity. But when it comes to one-on-one with God, you cannot give me this crown. I cannot give you a crown. Only Jesus can give us a crown. And that's what we should want. Can I get amen? Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so, we're coming in for a close. Following where Jesus leads. following where he leads. Recognizing God's voice is the only part of the equation here, saints. The next all-important step is to follow his voice where he leads. And if someone's leading you off a cliff, make an about face. Exit stage left. Right, even. Remember old Snagglepuss? Yes. Heavens to make a choice. For some, this final step might be obvious, but perhaps it is so obvious that many of them don't even think of it. But unlike sheep, saints of God, who follow the shepherd's voice by instinct, must daily choose to follow the path God is leading. We must follow him. Can I get amen? I'm following Jesus. Listen, we are all following together as we follow him. We're following God. Everything we're reading is all written for our admonition, our strength. But what a great shame it would be for us to recognize God's voice, yet continually to fail to follow him. My. It would be a tragedy, saints. It would be to be led by another voice and going through a wrong door. Come on, this is not... what was that program? The dating game. Door number one. Door number two. Door number... You better know where Jesus' door is. Can I get an amen? Don't you be guessing. I think he's in door number three. No, he's not. Jesus is in front of the door to heaven. Look at this. Look at what it says in John 12. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for what? Eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will what? Honor. Honor. How many want to be honored by the Father? Well, just follow Jesus. Because we're all following Jesus. All of us are. And the last verse of Scripture, and we'll close, is Mark 8:34. When he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's what God wants us to do, saints, is to follow him, because he is the door, and there is no other door to enter in by. How many are so blessed to know that? For those of you that are on Facebook and YouTube, maybe you haven't made that decision yet. Maybe you logged in and didn't realize you were typing in amazing, or you were typing in the word grace, and then we popped up, and now you're listening. Or maybe you just never truly surrender totally to him and give your heart to him. Well, here's your opportunity now. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that God will do the miraculous in your heart, that God can do what you cannot do for yourself. You see, how many believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for? Well, he could do it for those who don't know him right now. If you cry out, call on the name. The Bible says, call on the only name that can save you, and that name is Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, who died for your sins and mine. So I'm going to ask those who are watching to pray this prayer by faith. We're all going to pray for you right now that you would cry out and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do receive him today, log on to our website. Reach out to us. We want to give you a Bible. Put it in your hand. We want to lead you and point you to a good place so that you can continue to hear and read the Word of God. So if that's you, bow your heart and your head with me and pray this simple prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Come on, is he worthy? Oh, he's worthy, worthy, worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah.